I have a just a phrase from the Bible that's really stood out to me over the years, and I believe it's turned into a message on my heart. And the phrase is found back in the book of Amos in chapter 5, and it's the remnant of Joseph. Joseph is one of the most sterling Bible characters you're going to find. If anybody fulfills that word of prophecy that we had, it's Joseph. I'll ask you to turn, if you would, if you want to just see where that's written in the Bible. It's in Amos chapter 5, verse 15. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, toward the end of the Old Testament. Amos was a prophet. He lived in the southern part of the country, but he prophesied to the 10 northern tribes. He wasn't formally educated. He was a man that worked with the sycamore trees and so forth. God just called him to be a prophet, to speak to the 10 northern tribes. And in this chapter 5 of Amos, verse 14 says, "Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you, as you have spoken. Hate the evil, love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph." So that phrase that I'm focusing on is at the close of verse 15, the remnant of Joseph. Now, a remnant is, I just got a piece of cloth here. It came from a bigger piece of cloth. In fact, it came from this one. So it's a piece of this. So when God talks about a remnant of Joseph, he's speaking in this case about a blessing that can come on people that was on Joseph. And you don't find the Lord speaking about the eternal blessings of anybody that walked on this earth any higher than he did of Joseph. It's absolutely amazing. I want to read you what Jacob, his father, said about him, a prophecy that he spoke over Joseph. Jacob did on his just before he passed away. Anyway, the Hebrew word for a remnant is she'arith. So it just says a remainder or a final portion of something else. Here's what I believe the scripture is saying when I look at this statement here. It's always intrigued me, the remnant of Joseph. I followed the pattern of the teaching of the prophets, and so often what they did is Amos, like in this particular chapter, the first six verses, he's speaking about the situation in that day. God was dealing strongly with the 10 tribes of Israel. And then they'll switch and they'll move into a different time period, beginning in verse 7, clear down to up to the last three verses of the chapter. I believe he's speaking in the time period in which we're living today. That's the amazing thing about the prophets. They could speak in their hour, and they could speak a prophecy in our hour. So this term, the remnant of Joseph, I'm not going to spend time to read the whole chapter, but it's locked in to those verses from verse 7 right on down through verse 24. That, to me, I don't know of an area of prophetic scripture that fits any more into the hour in which we're living right now. I've studied this for many years, and it's an amazing chapter. So I feel when the Lord's speaking about the remnant of Joseph, he's speaking to me, speaking to you. It's something special that he wants to do. The name Joseph in Hebrew means let God add, or God will add to your life. And I think God is just looking for a remnant of people that will make some decisions like Joseph made, and he will pour out a blessing upon their life. He will add to their life. It's a special blessing that God put on Joseph, and he says, I've reserved to do that same thing to a remnant of people. And the last thing, that really speaks to my heart, because I know this prophecy is speaking about this hour that we're living in right now. I would ask for that kind of blessing to come on this church, unknown people. So I want to share a little bit with you about what this term, I feel, really holds. Now, Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob. His mother was Rachel. And he was highly favored by his parents. And as a young man, a special anointing came on his life. He had several dreams that were so powerful that they even caused his brothers to be envious of him. So God's presence was on him in an early life. And Jacob could see that this boy is destined for something in God. And so he was a favorite son. And so he made him a coat of many colors. A coat of dignity and honor. It meant something. Jacob saw the high purposes of God in this boy. And he made him a coat of many colors. And it brought division between Joseph and his other brothers, his older brothers. It brought jealousy, brought envy. Most of you are familiar with the story how Jacob gave Joseph some supplies of food and asked him to take them to his brothers who were watching a flock around Shechem. And when he went to Shechem, they had moved on to a place called Dothan. And when he went there, that's where he found them. And this was their opportunity to let the bitterness and hatred in their heart for their brother come out. They thought at first they'd kill him. Then one of the boys said, let's don't do that. So he was thrown in a pit. And remember the Ishmaelite that was on the highway from the Middle East to Egypt? And they came by, and so his brothers sold him for 20 pieces of silver to the Midianites to head down into Egypt. They took his coat, they killed a goat, they spilled a lot of blood on that coat of many colors. They took it home to their dad, said, we found this. It broke Jacob's heart. He said, you know, a wild animal or a goat has killed my son. I'll never see him again. Jacob said, I'll go to my grave with a broken heart. His boys let his dad suffer in that way. But at that point, that anointing of God that was on Joseph didn't disappear. God was with him. And think of this young boy being taken as a slave into Egypt and was so blessed of God. God will add, he made him the number two man in all of Egypt. Only Pharaoh was higher than him. God's talking about a remnant blessing. Somebody like that that he has for his people in this latter day setting, that's something that humbles my heart. Most of you are familiar with the story of Joseph in Egypt. But, hallelujah. What about that coat of many colors? What's its significance? In Judges chapter 5, verse 30, we find a Canaanite military commander named Sisera. It says he wore a special garment, a military garment. It had special needlework, not on the just on the outside, but on the inside too. And it was full of divers colors. So he had a coat of many colors. It spoke of position, dignity, and honor of who he was. 2 Samuel 13, verse 18 speaks of kings' daughters who were virgins. They were given special robes of apparel full of divers colors. So it spoke of purity and honor and dignity. In 1 Chronicles 29, 2, it says, David prepared precious materials and stones of divers colors before he died to beautify the temple. He wanted it to be blessed with the dignity of God. But then we look in a couple other places. I'll mention Revelation chapter 17 gives us an end time scene of apostate religion. It's arrayed in colorful garments and decked with precious stones. But it's not in tune with the Spirit of God like it should be. And we know where that kind of rebellion came from. It came from Lucifer. He's an angel that was created perfect, in perfect beauty. And he had such a fantastic music talent. I can picture him in his uniform, leading the morning stars when they praise God for the creation of the earth. He stood out among all of the angels. The Bible says he was perfect in beauty. It says his abode and his covering where he dwelt was rich with precious stones. Now, history reveals that, numerous leaders, people of great blessings and honor that God has blessed, have been robed in beauty, and we're used to seeing that type of thing. Yet in many cases, they refused to honor God. They didn't give him the glory that he deserves. And that's what happened to Lucifer and one-third of those angels. They couldn't wear that coat of many colors, that dignity and honor, without being lifted up, exalting themselves. But when you think of Joseph, it's pretty amazing. I would ask you to turn one scripture where Jacob spoke words over him that I've never heard spoken over any other human being. If you turn to Genesis chapter 49, Jacob spoke over his sons who represented the tribes of Israel before his death. He had some good things to say about some and some of the weaknesses of others. But here's what he said about Joseph. I'm reading in Genesis chapter 49. Verse 22, he's prophesying over this boy. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. In other words, he had the fruits of the Spirit in his life. It's just like a plant growing over the wall. It's a beautiful picture. And the Bible says we're basically known by our fruits. What happened to Joseph? Verse 23 says, the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. I mean, that even went down to his own brothers that wanted to kill him, let alone the powers of darkness. And God had to step in and say, I've ordained this man where Satan couldn't wear that coat of many colors with any dignity and honor. I'll put it on somebody that can wear it, that can give me the glory, that will walk with me. And that's why he was hated so much. He had to fight some battles, but his bow, it says, abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong. by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Boy, there's a lot of people who could stand that kind of anointing on their lives in these last days. Hallelujah. I want you to especially listen to these words about the blessing that Jacob said would rest on this boy. The rock of Israel would bless him. We knew who that is. Verse 25, it explains that the greatness of the blessing that God put on Joseph. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and he certainly did, pulled him out of a pit and took him into Egypt and made him the governor over the land. The Almighty will help you. He will bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. God just blessed this young man. To this degree, the blessings of thy father, what I'm speaking over you, Joseph, my son, is a blessing that prevails above the blessings that came on thy fathers, above Abraham. That's a pretty shocking statement. Above Isaac. Above thy progenitors. The blessing on you, Joseph, will go to the utmost bounds of the everlasting hills. I don't know everything about the third heaven. I know believers go there. I know God will reward his people, but to the utmost bounds of the third heaven as far as blessings, this boy goes to the end. I don't read anything like it in the Bible. He's talking about he has a remnant of people he wants to bless that way in the last days. This blessing lies on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. The thing that God said about Joseph, he was just willing to be separate from his brethren. In other words, it just means to be devoted and committed to God, to walk with him, and to make some priority decisions that please God. He was put in one place after another where he had to make a decision. His boss's wife wanted him to get in bed with her. He said, I'll give up the job. Goodbye. He made a decision. He kept the books. He had total control over the books of a wealthy man. He never cheated him out of a penny. He just made a decision to be separate from his brethren. When I think about, as I've studied this thing out, I can't make decisions for you, but I have a pretty good conviction of what God's speaking to me. And I want to just make those simple decisions that please him. Church pastor's not set up here to lay out 10 things that you have to do and you can't do or you can do. We have a conscience. We have an opportunity to serve the living God. We have an opportunity to be the remnant of Joseph in this hour. Each person has to make their own decisions. But to be separate, he was devoted, consecrated, and he was extremely pleasing to God. And I don't think you'll read any more precious words of God blessing somebody than we just read about the blessings of Joseph that will carry to the utmost bounds of the everlasting hills in eternity. Just because he made some decisions to please God. Lucifer couldn't do it, wouldn't do it. A third of those angels wouldn't do it. I just believe with all my heart, when God gave Jacob a desire to make a special coat of many colors for Joseph. He was sending a message to Lucifer. You don't want to wear the coat, I'll give it to somebody that's big enough to wear it. Somebody much better than you. He sent a message to one third of those angels. You don't want it, he'll wear it. And he stood through everything, dignity and honor. He didn't lift up himself. It's so easy when we get blessed. All of a sudden, we're really something, you know. We can lift ourselves up. But Joseph did not do that. So the statement, the remnant of Joseph, found here in Amos chapter 5, I don't know of a scene depicted in quite a few verses here that in my estimation fits where we are right now any more than this chapter. I know that he's looking for just a remnant of people that he can take a piece of what he did before and put it in their lives. I couldn't ask for anything more challenging to pray for this congregation and people than that. Hallelujah. You know, one of the ladies in the church had this word of prophecy. Strange winds are coming. Winds that change times and seasons. Be prepared. As a people, I will protect you. The gifts will come forward in a mighty way. Just watch. That tells me that God's prepared to bless a remnant of his people like he did Joseph. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I think one of the things that's been used by Satan to bring so much division within the realm of religion is legalism. Telling people what they have to do, what they can do, what they can't do. I remember one young high school student coming to me once and saying, you know, can we go to dances? As if I'm supposed to be the one that makes that decision. I shared some scripture with her. If it glorifies God, if you can see God in it, if it enhances the Lord and you can lift him up and it's part of your life of serving him, go. You make the decision. I can't make the decision. The church is not going to make that decision. Whatsoever you do in word and deed, do it all to the glory of God. We have to make those individual decisions. All of us are maybe at a different level of maturity. I have a clear challenge before me if something God has shown me wants me to do. It doesn't concern you. It concerns what he's speaking to me. Will I be separate? Will I choose to come out from among them, be separate, touch not the unclean thing? And will I do that? Do I care enough about something like this to make that kind of a decision? I believe that we're exactly at the place that Amos is speaking about. Just think about this for a minute, and we're told some startling things will be happening in this hour. The prudent will know how to respond. Here's what he asks us to do. Seek good and not evil. I mean, we had a former president tell us we're living in an evil time. We can see the breakdown in society. Morals. Seek the good. Stick to the relationship with God as he laid it out in this book. Establish judgment in the gate. As a pastor, you got to stand for something. And it says this, if you'll do that, it may be that the Lord God will be gracious unto the remnant of his people, to the remnant of Joseph. It may be. So that means I've got to make a decision. We have to make decisions. God's not asking us to isolate ourselves in a way that we're like a monk in a monastery or something, just to live with him. Make some decisions, some priority decisions that please him. And some of this will fall on you. Hate the evil. And it's not wrong to hate some of the things that you see happening that are just so in violation of God's word. Hate evil, love good, establish judgment in the gate. Hallelujah. And he says in verse 14 of this chapter, if you'll do all that, he'll be with you as you have spoken. So I was thinking, the challenge before me is one. God will challenge you in a certain way. Yes, Lord, I want to do that. Yes, Lord, I will make that decision. I think that determines whether that anointing of the remnant of Joseph will come on my life. When I was thinking about this, I thought, I want one of these in my pillowcase. Put my head on it at night. I want the promise to be real. I wouldn't want to miss it. Should sew one on my pajamas. I just want to be reminded that God's going to have a remnant people, a remnant of Joseph. Some of this that happened to Joseph, all is going to come on you, the remaining portion. I couldn't ask for anything more precious to pray for. I'd like to ask Cindy. I don't know. I like to use these things where you don't forget a message. I asked Cindy to cut me up some remnants. So boy, she must have think there'd be a lot of interest because there must be a lot of them in here. What I would like to do, there's a song that Dolly Parton sang that somebody gave me once about a coat of many colors. Said her mother took rags of many colors, and she didn't have a winter coat. Sewed it into a coat of many colors. She was laughed at because she wore that coat to school. And in that song, A Coat of Many Colors, it talks about the story her mother told her about Joseph. And I'd like to have Jeff join me and Danny, if the youth are up here. I see a picture of a promise. And if I were to hand one to Archie, I'd say, Brother, this is a promise that's spoken in the Bible. And I just pray it'll come to pass in your life. Take a remnant, put it somewhere. If you think it's foolishness, don't take it. But before you go downstairs today, if Jeff would join me and Danny would join me, I'd like to take some of these remnants and ask you to take it, and we can speak a word that God would bless your family. I couldn't ask for something more to see you blessed with some of what Joseph had, but at the same time, God says it may be. You got to choose if you want to separate yourself in any way. If you want to go the whole way with the world, then you can. There are just certain things that will please God. And they please God to the point where God says, I'm going to take this boy and not only bless him here on earth, I will add. That's what Joseph means. And God says, I have a people, they'll make a decision, I'm going to add to their life. Health, finances, blessings. Then I'll carry it over into heaven. Joseph went to the utmost bounds of the everlasting hills.
just because he's willing to make some decisions.
Lord, I pray for this congregation that this word, I just speak it over them. It's a promise for this hour. And I ask for that blessing on the young people and all of the congregation. We don't want to miss being a part of something blessed that you have for us. We don't all have to be popes. We just have to be honest before you, willing to make a few little decisions that please you. And I ask for the remnant of Joseph's blessing to come on every sincere person here today, God. May these remnants be a reminder to them in their home or their car or wherever they put it that it's a promise for this hour. And then, Holy Spirit, you help them just to make choices that please God and bring this blessing to pass upon them. Pray in the name of Jesus.